Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to MAGA Monday, folks. It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor of the Bulwark. I'm with Will Sommer. Can't believe we're doing this again. Just felt like a couple days ago that we were doing this, and yet here we are.
There's so much to discuss.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, it's for the people. We do it for you guys. We don't like doing this. It's just a burden, but we do it. Lots to discuss this week. We're going to be talking, good Lord. Oh my God, we have so many things. We're going to be talking about Spencer Pratt, and people are losing their goddamn minds about what's happening in LA, and they shouldn't be. It's just ridiculous. Here we are again. It makes no sense. And yet here we are again, and people are losing their minds, including, and we're going to get to this, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York was on TV this morning, and one of the more irresponsible interviews I've seen in a long time. Either he's an idiot or he's just playing one to be in the good graces of Donald Trump. It is ridiculous. We're going to get to that in a little bit. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, Judicial Watch versus Cash Patel. Some things happening there. There was a question about emails exchange with the near assassin for Donald Trump, Thomas Cooks, who now they've erased the emails that they put out. Will's going to be on top of this. And then what else do we have on our list, Will?
You know, we've got drama at the Turning Point convention. They just had the ladies' convention there.
I missed that.
We've got the latest update on Albania and the Kushner's attempts to build a perfect resort. We've got Lauren Boebert going off on a Fox News reporter. I mean, we've got a lot.
Okay, we might hit an hour today. My long sought goal to actually go full hour. Let's start with Pratt. All right, so, God, where to begin? There was an election for mayor in California, in Los Angeles. The top two, as is the law in California, the top two vote recipients head to a runoff after the first round of election results. Basically, California, everyone knows this. California has this kind of quirky, dumb process, but it is their process that results in them counting ballots for days and weeks after the actual election day. The reason is that you have same-day registration, and if you mail in a ballot and it is postmarked on election day, as in you mailed it in on election day, it gets counted, even if it arrives multiple days after election day. And so if you have a lot of people sending in ballots on election day, they have to go through the process, inspect the ballots, make sure they are not fraudulent, but it takes a little while. And that's why you have these drops in results that happen at the end of days over time, and they tend to be more democratic because you know something. Well, this is gonna blow your brains. California is pretty democratic, and LA is a pretty democratic city. Okay, so just to set this up, on election night, the actual election night, Karen Bass, the current mayor of LA, was ahead in first place. Spencer Pratt, reality TV star turned viral candidate turned AI slop candidate, was in second place, and everyone was like, look at this. The future of politics is upon us. He used AI slop and got attention. He was using rage politics, and he's second. And Nithya Ramon was the third. She's a more progressive candidate for mayor. And that looked like it was going to be the case. And then what happened was, over the course of several days, more ballots came in and Pratt fell to third. People are losing their minds. What have you seen on the internets about the extent that people think this is just Democrats doing dirty?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like most conservatives have settled on this idea that this election is being stolen from Spencer. I mean, it plays into a lot of the stuff we saw in 2020, the idea that mail-in ballots are illegitimate or, whatever the count is the night of the election, that's what it should stand as. So really, it's kind of becoming like an article of faith. And also, like, I think there's this sense that, you know, this guy had the memes. Like, we liked his videos. You know, he had to win. You know, he had said he was going to win outright. And obviously that didn't happen, but we're seeing.
Yeah, he said he was going to get over 50%, right?
Yeah, that's what he claimed. I mean, there's just this sense that, like, you know, this is obviously being robbed. I mean, you know, Matt Iglesias took a look at what sites like the Free Press were writing in advance. They were like, you know, Spencer's wife is going to be the first lady of LA.
Heidi Montag?
You know, yes, this is the revolution. You know, I mean, it goes without saying that he's just going to blow him out of the water. But as people are pointing out, we'll see what the final vote total is. But it looks like he actually underperformed Trump in LA. So, you know, we're going to get into it. I mean, this is not that big of a surprise if you live in the real world. But for conservatives, I mean, they're shocked.
Okay. And then the other thing, they're coming up with a bunch of erroneous, factually incorrect accusations about these votes. So there's a claim that's been circulating a lot. I've seen it all over the internet, that all these updates include zero votes for Spencer Pratt. Like, they're just finding these post-election day updates with the mail-in ballots, and lo and behold, there are zero votes in any of these batches for Spencer Pratt, which is statistically impossible. Surely these mail-in ballots have to have some votes for Spencer Pratt, but they're not registering any votes. The problem is, it's bullshit. Every single update has included votes for Spencer Pratt. Now, they're not as many votes as Spencer Pratt needs to retain his second place lead, but this is something that's happening all over the place. It got to the point where the U.S. attorney in L.A., a Trumpy guy, had to take to Twitter. I don't know if we can put that up. Here he is. This is attorney Bill Asalia, or Asali. He says, there was a claim circulating on social media about election night ballot update at the Los Angeles Registrar of Voters where one candidate received zero votes. That would be Spencer Pratt. We reviewed official county records. Claim is false. Each candidate received votes in every update. My office will continue monitoring the election counting process and will follow the evidence wherever it leads. If anyone has credible information concerning election fraud, please send it to him. And he includes his email address. I love the last line because he has to like show that he's on top of it. But this is the Trump guy being like, no, this is a dubious claim. And then Spencer Pratt himself, we might not have uploaded this one, but Spencer Pratt put out a tweet. There it is. A net swing of more than 43,000 votes since Tuesday. 43,000, huh? Where have I seen that number before? Now, this is different conspiracy theory than he's getting no votes at all. This one is that all the homeless people in LA voted for someone else other than Spencer Pratt, because he includes an article where it says 43,699 people experience homelessness on any given night in the city of Los Angeles. So Spencer Pratt is implying that literally every single person experiencing homelessness minus 699 people were given a chance to vote, and they voted for Nithya.
Well, the rest supported Spencer Pratt, that 699, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They had to make it seem clean. Look, this is silly for a variety of reasons. One is there's no actual evidence of corruption here. Everyone bemoans the slow pace of how California counts their ballots, including California Democrats. It's just ridiculous. The other thing, though, is that Karen Bass would love nothing more than to face Spencer Pratt. I mean, Karen Bass is the current mayor of Los Angeles. In this cockamamie world in which the state or the city is controlling the balloting and making sure that Spencer Pratt is locked out, like, this makes no sense. They would want Spencer Pratt to be the second candidate because LA has a 4-to-1 Democratic registration, and she would love nothing more than not having to worry about a challenger from her left in the runoff. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look, Spencer Pratt is running as a Republican in a heavily Democratic city. He's also running as, like, to be frank, like a very ugly kind of politics. I mean, particularly with his embrace sort of in the last few months of the campaign of these AI videos. You know, Republicans in my life are showing me these videos and like, oh, don't you love this? And it's like, not really. I don't love seeing, you know, like, are LA voters going to love seeing like a black woman mayor getting like brutalized by Batman? You know, like it was like kind of violent stuff. I mean, I think typically when Republicans are at all successful in cities, it's running as like an almost like apolitical populist technocrat, someone who's like, look, I'm just going to clean up the permitting so we can rebuild these houses. We're going to clean up the streets. I'm not like a MAGA guy, you know. And Spencer Pratt clearly leaned into the opposite of that. And so, you know, I don't think it's and like Republicans are just really unpopular nationally. So I don't think it's a big surprise that he lost.
Well, this is the thing that, you know, there's a lot of commentary about this, and I get it because he was so provocative and those ads were so ridiculous, but also the like legitimate rage over what happened in the Palisades and frankly with homelessness in LA and just whether the city was not being governed correctly. So I get it. But the commentary was so over-torqued around this stuff. Like you mentioned the Free Press, how many articles they wrote about how he was the future and all that stuff. Politico ran a piece being like, J.D. Vance's biggest threat in 2028 is Spencer Pratt, not the person, but the politics that he has personified. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, I get it. It's sort of a clever piece. You know, that itself is kind of clickbaity in a way. But like, we tend to just be absolutely over, you know, we overinterpret these things. People just want like kind of sensible governance, right? And like, had Spencer Pratt run a more like, I'm going to actually fix the city as opposed to, you know, just go off and do these AI slops, and I'm going to break with Trump notably, and I'm going to be like a sensible Republican, I would guess that he would have done better than had he done the thing he did. Now, he got a lot of attention. He was in New York City like a couple days before the vote because he was getting on all the media, and that's what he's good at. But this is not the formula for actually winning in LA. I'm not sure there is a great formula for any Republican running in LA, but I think the media needs to kind of reexamine how it gets played by these viral candidates.
I think that's right. Do we have the CNBC clip to?
Yeah, let's. This one, I'm going to take a little bit of editorial liberty here because this is ridiculous. The setup here is that Jay Clayton, who is the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, like the most powerful U.S. attorney in the country, is going on Squawk Box, and somehow the conversation turns to what's happening in L.A. And Joe Kernan is the host, and then Becky Quick's the other host. You're going to hear two clips. The first is Joe Kernan asking about what's going on in L.A. Now, this is why it's so outrageous. Jay Clayton is not a dumb guy. I don't think he's a dumb guy. Certainly achieved a lot of professional success, but he's playing a dumb guy. Or maybe he is a dumb guy. And Joe Kernan is just like either like, you know, the most gullible person ever to be a host on a major TV network, or he's just trying to get like, I don't know, some kudos from the big boss. Watch this clip. We're going to play the first clip and then we'll take a break. We'll talk about it. And then I'm going to play the second clip. So let's play the first clip.
Idea of what's happening in California right now.
No, I actually can't, which I think is the problem. You know, you raised this about election integrity, which I think is the point.
That's like, what I'm watching it. And are any of the things we're hearing about, like thousands of votes all for the same person, is any of that true? Or is that just this sort of conspiracy to, like 100% for the socialist candidate versus the others? Is any of that true?
All right, so just two things here. One is you have Kernan saying, buying into that theory that 100% of the votes went to Nithia, which is not true. Like two seconds of research would have shown him that. Why he didn't do that, why his producer didn't do that. Lazy, I don't know, pernicious, who knows. Jay Clayton was asked specifically, do you have any explanation for what's going on in California? And his answer is explicitly, no, I do not. Okay, Jay Clayton says he does not know what's going on in California. Okay, this is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, says he does not know what's going on in California. Now, here's Becky Quick, literally 2 minutes later in the same program.
California's election law allows ballots postmarked by election day be counted and permits same-day registration. That means tabulation typically continues for weeks after the vote.
I think you go 30 days, isn't it? Right.
But why is that law there? I get your
I mean, that doesn't sound like fraud. That you can argue whether the law makes sense, but that doesn't sound like a fraudulent situation.
No, there's a great phrase, opportunity for fraud.
Okay, so now Jay Clayton says he does understand that the law is there. So he does have an explanation. He just thinks there's an opportunity for fraud. I mean, this is like JV level stuff. And it was shocking to me that the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York would go on TV and do this song and dance, unless he's just trying to impress Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. I think he has to toe this line. You know, this is kind of a classic maneuver for more respectable figures who have to, like, nod to voter fraud conspiracy theories, is they say, yeah, I kind of think it's being stolen. And you say, well, how do you mean? And they go, well, I don't like how the laws were changed in 2020 about ballots. You know, I mean, there's like, well, that's not really what people mean when they say stolen, right?
Right.
So I think that there's, I mean, this is obviously, I think, going to become kind of an article of faith. I would just say, I also find it funny who gets to claim their election was stolen. Like, you have to be a really charismatic Republican who everyone loves on the right. Like,
yeah.
You know, when Carrie Lake lost her election in 2020, people were like, you know, we don't really feel like going to the mat for you, Carrie. You know, this isn't sort of a key election for us in the way that Spencer Pratt or Trump in 2020 was.
But why Spencer Pratt? Why do they care?
He's a very unpleasant person. No, I mean, I think they and they love that. I think he plays into these storylines of like, you know, we got to clean up these cities and like Democrats are running amok. And this idea of kind of this like populist revolt against like liberals in cities, I think is very appealing.
I guess. I don't know. It just seemed odd to me that they would latch onto this dude. Like who is he? Like, what does he represent? Is he actually MAGA? Yeah, he threw together a bunch of like viral videos about LA and the fires and kind of misled about the status of his own home. But he was also staying at like fancy hotels. He clearly wasn't like campaigning in the traditional sense. He was just being opportunistic with this stuff and being viral. Like, I guess that's what they latch onto and they kind of want to see succeed. My guess is that they just wanted to like prove that they could hack it in LA. And they want to embarrass Karen Bass, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also it's a race that I think appeals to like kind of wealthier Republican media personalities. Like, you know, we can talk about all the coverage from the Free Press, like as we mentioned that, like these things that I think, like if this was for the mayor of like Des Moines, I don't think they would care as much. But I think it's like a lot of these kind of like heterodox Barry Weiss type liberals who are now like kind of leaning Republican who are just like, we got to clean up these streets.
Yeah, there's one last clip we're going to play in this. Hold on. I'm just going to read a couple tweets. Clay Travis, 5 days after the LA election, Spencer Pratt falls to third place, and a woman who hardly anyone voted for in person, Nithya Raman, totally dominated mail-in voting to come in second. No one with a functional brain believes these results. Okay. And here is here's Randy Fine. Producer Matt has Randy Fine doing some Randy Fine stuff. Let's listen.
So people can just dig through garbage cans, find ballots, and send them in apparently forever after an election is over. It's not okay. It's got to come to an end, and people need to go to jail.
Yeah. Okay. Just send people to jail.
Yeah, well, and you know, finally, I think this is also just, it's useful for the administration because this is provides more grist for some kind of federal intervention in the midterms. So you can see people being like, well, yes, technically it's legal, but it's annoying to me, and I liked the memes.
Yeah. Well, okay. We got to take a quick break. We've got an ad read from Quince. That's my clothing store of choice these days. Been loving it. We got to pay the bills. People, buy some stuff at Quince. It's great quality. Quick ad break. And then on the flip side, we're going to talk about Judicial Watch and Cash Patel absolutely at war with each other. It's a sight to behold. This ad is brought to you by Quince. Summers pretty much always change how I get dressed. I want pieces, obviously, that feel a little bit lighter, that are more breathable, things that I can put together easily, ideally things that make me look a little bit buffer than I am. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on high quality essentials that feel and look amazing. And folks, I think I feel amazing. I definitely look amazing. Quince is well-made basics, but without the luxury markup. It's that rare balance where everything feels elevated, but still effortless. And if you know anything about me, my aesthetic is elevated, but effortless. My favorite part about Quince is that everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and they cut out the middleman. So you're just paying for quality, not brand markup. I just bought Quince's relaxed short sleeve shirts that were made with European linen. They're perfect for the DC heat. You can't see them. It's underneath here right now. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/bulwarktakes for free shipping on your order and a 365-day return policy. It's now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/bulwarktakes for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/bulwarktakes. I feel elevated.
You know, another great Sam Stein ad read there. And I agree. I think in that video, I think your pecs were really popping in that Quince, which I guess was kind of the suggestion.
That's what Quince says. And look, before we go on to Judicial Watch versus Cash Patel, I'm sorry. I do have to actually apologize to Randy Fine. I I found my trash. And I found these ballots.
Nithya Ramon.
Nithya. Bass. Nithya. Oh, my God.
No Spencer.
No Spencer in there. Randy, I apologize. That was wrong of me. I take it all back. All right. I was following this one a little bit, but I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. What Judicial Watch, which people should understand, is the like thorn in the side of every Democratic president, because they launch a million FOIAs and they get a ton of emails and then they present them in some misleading context. Usually they just pulled one over on the Trump administration. And this one has to do with the Butler assassination. So give us the backstory, Will.
Yeah. So as you said, Judicial Watch, run by Tom Fitton, you know, speaking of buff, I mean, this is a guy, he digs up the emails, he launches the mini lawsuits, he goes on Sean Hannity, whatever. So over the weekend, they said, we got this new cache of documents about Thomas Crooks, the would-be Trump assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania. And it reveals that he was emailing a sheriff's deputy in his town right before the assassination. You might think, huh? Were they saying, okay, go do the assassination? Or, hey, don't do the assassination, okay? So this was a big story on the right. And then suddenly Kash Patel says, you're messing it all up. He says on Twitter, like, this is not true. Oh, do we have Kash's post there? Maybe not. So basically, Kash says, you know, they're really going in on Judicial Watch, essentially. And here's what appears to have happened. I read these emails. It's heavily redacted.
Incredibly redacted.
Basically, the page before, it's kind of crazy to me. Judicial Watch really messed this one up. The page before, there's like some talk about sheriff's deputies. And then in a following email, there's someone saying, yeah, this witness said she had exchanged some emails with Thomas Crooks before the assassination. So basically, Judicial Watch looks at that first email and goes, oh, this must also be about sheriffs. But in fact, that email doesn't say anything about the sheriff's deputy. It turns out, and the FBI does a little ruse here. Maybe not a ruse, whatever. They then do a new unredacted version or less redactions. They go, oh my gosh, we redacted too much. And then they give it to a reporter, I think at the Washington Examiner, that makes clear this was one of Thomas Crooks' teachers who was emailing him about an assignment. And so they lift like the part that said, I emailed him about his math homework. And then they put that out. And so for one, it's kind of funny that the FBI was like, this stuff absolutely has to be redacted. But then when Judicial Watch, their allies, misinterpret it, they go, oh my gosh, actually, we don't have to redact the part about the math homework. So it's a big mess for all involved.
Totally. Let's put up the FBI direct response Twitter account, which went after them for this. This is a clickbait lie by Judicial Watch, which is now nothing more than fake news media. Unbelievable. The unredacted documents are interviews of Thomas Crooks by college instructors, not cops, wherein those instructors referenced having emailed Thomas Crooks about coursework. That's in all caps. They make no reference to the contact between Thomas Crooks and any police department. Maybe if you spend more time on facts instead of clicks, you wouldn't be a laughing stock. And they tag Tom Fitton. I just am here for the absolute hilarity of them going after Judicial Watch. And this is the Judicial Watch website now that they've been. Oh, there it is.
They page deleted it. I know. I went to check the emails again this morning and it's all gone.
So what, I mean, how embarrassing is this for Judicial Watch?
There's a lot of egg on their faces. I mean, it's striking to me that the FBI, like even with a group, again, that's allied with them, I'm sure Kash Patel had some kind of collaboration with them before becoming FBI director. And now, like, there's just that Trumpian tone they can't turn off. They can't be like, actually, you're misreading the files and like, please contact us. We'll sort it out. They're just like, you are laughing stock, Judicial Watch. I mean, they really go in on them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an analogy on the left here, because it's not really a Judicial Watch on the left, is there?
I mean, People for Government Oversight or something like that. Project for Government.
Yeah, it'd be
Oversight.
Like if Crew got a bunch of records on Obama and like went to town and like got them all wrong, and then Eric Holder was like yelling at them online and telling them that they're hacks. It just is, you wouldn't ever imagine something like that happening. I did see a lot of people though jump at this on the right when before it was all redacted and taken down, and they're like, holy shit, our absolute biggest fears and conspiracies are confirmed here. And I'm just sort of blown away, maybe you could speak to this a little bit before we move on, about how firm now it is treated that on the right, not on the left, on the right, that something odd happened in Butler and that there's something unexplained about what happened in Butler. as if the Secret Service was trying to get Trump assassinated, but he hasn't punished them for it. I just, like, something doesn't compute to me about the logic about it, but it does seem to be increasingly an article of faith.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Charlie Kirk assassination in that, you know, you would think the actual story as it's been laid out, you'd kind of get a lot of political capital if you're the right from it. And yet there's still this effort in the case of Butler to, it's like, no, we have to prove there was this deep state plot to assassinate Trump. It's also striking to me how much it's kind of being walked down where it's like, oh, was it the FBI who was in contact with them? No, it was the Butler Sheriff's Department.
You know? Like the sheriff's department's in on it.
The sinister, that's a CIA front, as we all know. But like, it's just crazy. And even that's not true, right? So who knows? Maybe now they'll make it about this math homework or what have you.
You and I have talked about this before, but if you just sort of step back and think about it, it makes no sense whatsoever, right? Like, okay, let's just assume there was a deep state plot to try to take out Trump. The Biden Secret Service, led Secret Service or FBI, entrusted this kid, Thomas Crooks, who was like a really poor marksman, to shoot from whatever, a couple hundred yards away. And they were going to let him just go for it, regardless of, you know, whether or not he could shoot. And they were comfortable with him killing people also there, and they couldn't figure out a better plan, and then they somehow like covered it up. It does, you think about it, just doesn't actually make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And you know, I just feel like after the 2020 election stuff, I mean, all these decades or, you know, years of conspiracy theories, like there's just this feeling that like things can't be as they appear to be. There has to be some kind of sinister plot behind everything in the news.
Yeah, this one is baffling to me, but it continues to gain steam, although big egg on the face moment for Judicial Watch. The fact that they are sort of involved in trying to push this stuff really does actually give you a sense of like where the energy is on the right. They really want to just expose some sort of deep state plot. The other big story over the weekend, which I was not paying attention to as much, well, there's two big stories. We're going to start with the Mormons first.
Yes.
You were really hot on this, but what actually happened here? Because I look up and suddenly everyone who's a Mormon in elected office is just furious.
The Mormons are in revolt. Yes. So yeah. This is a real sort of what they call the leopards eating the faces moment, right?
Right.
So on Friday, I believe the Defense Department announced that they would be consolidating the religious categories for service members' religions. And essentially what they were doing here is it seems to have started out as like an owning the libs moment. And so they aren't going to recognize Wiccans as a religion you can sign up for, or atheists. And so the theory is, I think there were kind of like some other...
Why not Wiccans? Well, so, Christine O'Donnell?
So I think the theory is that, like, you know, you look at these categories, you're saying, well, how many chaplains of each type do I need for my battalion? And then you can say, all right, well, I need X number of Christians, and I don't have to worry about, like, having a Wiccan chaplain or whatever. And not that I really think that the Army was, like, that too concerned about it in the first place. But also what happened here is... So
I just want to know how many Wiccans are joining the Army.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Are there a lot?
You know, it's sometimes a warlike people, you know, kind of the Norse gods. Okay. Can we put up the new religion list? Okay. You can see here. So you have like
these are the acceptable religions according to the Pentagon.
Yes. And so there's like a long list, you know, under the Christian category, we got Catholics, Baptists, Quakers, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, whatever. Then there's kind of these other ones that are sort of seen as outside of the Christian umbrella. So Hindus, Islam, Judaism, makes sense. But what's interesting is you'll notice that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so the Mormons, are not under the Christian umbrella. And this is where the trouble starts. So Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, also a Mormon, he says, well, wait a minute, why are Mormons not considered Christians anymore? And obviously the Mormon church has tried for a long time to say, hey, we're Christians just like you guys. We love Jesus. Nothing weird going on here. We're just Mormons, just like we're Baptists, Presbyterians, whatever. Normal denomination. And evangelicals in particular take a lot of exception to this. And so Hegseth, it's kind of unclear what the motivation was here, but it has enraged the Mormons.
Yeah, they're all out in real anger. I don't know if we have the Mike Lee video ready to go, but he like put up multiple videos getting really upset about this. Jason Chaffetz as well. Let's play the Mike Lee video.
The faith of the American people has always been one of its greatest strengths. as is the fact that the Constitution prohibits the United States government from treating people differently based on their religious beliefs, regardless of what denomination they might be drawn toward, they might belong to, or whether they have any faith at all. It's one of the many things that has strengthened our country, and it's especially important in this circumstance that the government recognize the faith of the men and women who serve in uniform and stand ready, willing, and able to die at any moment as they serve our country in times of war. For that very reason, I think it's very unfortunate that the Pentagon has chosen to identify basically every faith group in America that professes faith in Jesus Christ as Christian, with one exception. That is those belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I find this offensive, not just because that happens to be my faith, but not just because it happens to be the faith of tens of thousands of U.S. military personnel. But it's also just repugnant to any sense of decency, any sense of our common heritage and our common belief that the government needs to not weigh in on doctrinal disputes between various religious denominations. Oh. And so,
okay, I think we get the point.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. So the I think favorable view of this is that the Pentagon is sort of grouping these chaplain groups under, like, okay, we'll have a priest, and then we can kind of take the Protestant groups and, like, you know, is it that big a deal if the chaplain you can't get to is a Methodist and you're a Presbyterian or a Baptist? Maybe we can kind of group these together for practical purposes. But they're recognizing that Mormons are kind of like, and this is what's setting off my glee, are a different enough thing that they kind of need their own pastors. And so, you know, what's interesting here is I'm curious about the Pentagon's logic, because, like, you know, people are saying, well, they don't profess the Nicene Creed, or they're not Trinitarian, but, or they're like a new religious movement. But you also have, like, Christian Scientists are under the Christian umbrella here. So, or Quakers. Mm-hmm. And so you have these ones that are, like, kind of like significantly different from kind of what we might think of mainline or as evangelical Christian, but they're still counted as Christian, not the Mormons though.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Yeah, I'm in out of my league here. I have no idea what.
Well, I did a lot of research on this because I was curious. And so this is.
I'm happy the Jews are even recognized. Honestly, I'm just grateful for that.
We're just happy to be here.
Yes, exactly.
So this is.
How do you know so much about this stuff?
Honestly. Well, I'm actually listening to a book about the history of Mormonism at the moment. But I'm also I also spent some time. So the Mormons, they're
be honest. Is, be honest. You watch The Secret Wives, Lives of Mormon Wives.
I certainly do.
You absolutely, yeah.
I do. And this is part of the we're kind of in this Mormon moment, right? And Mormons are obviously very prominent online, on Instagram, on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And this is a setback for them. But they have tried, like, you know, there was this effort, I think about a decade ago, to say, okay, we're going to, like, kind of back off the Mormon term. We're going to emphasize Jesus in the name. And, like, you know, we're going to Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Like, we are Christians just like you. And so this is really, like, you know, set a lot of people off. Mike Lee was also tweeting. He's like, oh, that's funny. When I go to the Mormon church, what are all these crucifixes doing here? What are all these pictures of Jesus? So they're bad.
Can we get back to The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives for a second?
Yes.
What is your take on that show?
Well, you know, I think it started off slow, but I think it's gotten pretty good.
What season are we on?
Four. I think they churn them out really quick. I think it was the right decision to pull Taylor from The Bachelorette. I think the allegations were getting too crazy, but I do think that, you know, overall it's pretty entertaining. I think it's a whole new world, like Mormon culture. And so it's an interesting thing for me to watch.
People don't know this about Will, but in addition to, like, spending a lot of time on the internet covering this stuff, he has the absolute worst taste in TV. So he likes that shit. You like Vanderpump Rules?
Vanderpump, all the Bravo stuff. Obviously, I'm catching up on the Summer House Reunion. And this is going to be offensive to some people, but, like, I initially thought the Weston Amanda stuff, I'm going to get canceled right here.
Weston and Amanda dating,
I didn't think was that big a deal initially, but having watched a couple more episodes and having seen the reunion, I now renounce my support for Weston and Amanda. A lot. This was not a popular take in the Bulwark office. A lot of people were mad at me about it, and now I have seen the error of my ways.
Well, I have no clue who you are talking about. Literally no clue. I did watch one or two episodes of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I thought these people are nuts. Like, why would you invite TV cameras into your home and do all this stuff? But that's the allure of reality TV.
Just to cap our Mormon discussion here.
Yeah.
You know, this has also set off the evangelicals on, like, you know, there's kind of this like uneasy alliance because both of these groups are conservative and often support Trump. But this has really set off like the evangelicals to be like, to be clear, Mormons are not Christian. And the Mormons, you know, I kind of feel bad for them, right? I mean, they kind of thought they were part of the club. In some ways, people like based Mike Lee, they sort of made their bed here. I mean, they signed up with this group that like loves hating the other. We'll take any opportunity to exclude people. But, you know, I think they're just like, we're just doing our thing. You know, Mormons obviously contribute a lot to American government. And you know, they're big in the deep state. I mean, famously, Howard Hughes would only trust Mormons. So, you know, they're as American as anyone else.
And they just want to be categorized the way they want to be categorized. Mike Lee had an update from last night. I guess he's making some headway on it. Let's play that. I just got off the phone with President Trump. We discussed the Pentagon's Christian list. I won't speak for him, but I'm thrilled about where this is heading. We're most fortunate that President Trump, one, loves Latter-day Saints, and two, is our commander-in-chief. Stay tuned. I don't know, man. I guess. Just to close this up, I'm going to read a couple of the comments because I think people are interested in your choice of TV and it's very divisive. I can't even pronounce this. Sam is so right. That is crap TV. The Karen White says, Will and I watch the same trashy shows. Sawyer 77 says, I haven't watched Summer House in years, and even I watched that reunion. Who else? Will, a Bravo lover, says Michael Brockman 5742. This is the best one. Mike WB9PB. Will, I'm worried about you.
Well, this is, I mean, look, it all comes down to cooking for my kids at night. And it's switching between.
Are they
like,
watching it with you?
No, they're asleep. Okay. This is when the kids are asleep, and it's like when I'm watching Candace, I'm watching Tim Pool, and then I'm like, how about something a little more edifying? And that's when I click on Vanderpump.
I tried Vanderpump too. I made it two episodes in. All right. Updates from around the world. Albania.
Yes.
Albania. This one was my favorite story last week. So if people don't remember this, Ivanka Trump went on some podcast. I don't even know what it was. It was the most ridiculous podcast. And they started talking about how she was on some yacht, like Matt Rothschild's yacht or something like that. And they just happened to upon this island in the middle of the Mediterranean, although I'm not sure it was the Mediterranean. It's an island off of Albania, and they just jumped into the water and was pristine, and they made it to the beautiful shores, and they were barefoot, and they just walked up top to the top of the island, and they looked down at this unbelievable paradise, and they knew they had to have it, and she and Jared are now investing $1.4 billion. They're going to make it into this incredible eco-tourist destination for the global elite. And of course, they're going to make sure that everything is taken care of. They would never trample on the pristine nature of this paradise. It's unclear why they have to take a paradise and make it into an eco-friendly resort. If it is paradise, probably you wouldn't want to touch it. But she wants to make it even more like paradise, I suppose. Anyways, this didn't go over very well with Albania. They didn't like it. There was mass protests in the streets. The government may be top. But look at these pictures. If you can't, I mean, honestly, you can't see it if you're listening. But these are like thousands upon thousands of people in the streets of Albania waving flags, absolutely enraged over what is happening. It's like if sometimes you kind of step back on these stories. I had one of those moments. Oh, my God. Even more pictures. You step back, you're like, wait a second. The president's daughter went on a podcast and revealed that she's trying to just take over some island in the Mediterranean. And now one of the country's governments might be like toppled by popular protests. It's wild stuff. Like you couldn't script this. It would be, you'd be dismissed. It's like really Veep level shit. It's the Adriatic Sea. Sorry. I was blanking on the name. It's not actually the Mediterranean. Anyways, Will, what's the latest on this?
Yeah. So as you said, I mean, there are calls for the government to resign, to bring down the prime minister. He gave so this is like beautiful wetlands. There's two islands here. One of which is a submarine base. So I'm sure they let Ivanka and Jared, I'm sure, go barefoot at the submarine base. Number two, is the wetlands. And so, and it's a big flamingo destination. The flamingos like to go there. So the prime minister gave an interview.
How do the flamingos go there? I'm just kind of curious.
They fly. You know, it's a wetland.
Flamingos can fly that far?
Yes. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I think they're going around, you know, I mean, they're okay. Birds, right? So they're not flightless. Basically, like, you know, it is funny. Obviously we talked about this on the trio last week. Ivanka portrays this as like, you know, it's going to be this beautiful ecotourism. I think they're looking at like 6,000 units. So, I mean, we're talking about like a big thing here. So the prime minister gave an interview and he said, look, it's going to be very exclusive. And the interviewer was like, yeah, I know, that's the problem. You're giving up like Albanian Yellowstone to Ivanka Trump to build this thing. So the latest, as you said, the protests continue. And the EU, so Albania really wants to be in the EU. The EU told Politico, they said, well, of course, you know, if you're going to be in the EU, you have to follow the EU rules. And to be clear, one of the key EU rules is respect for migratory birds. They were like, all of your rules about birds are in order, right? And they're sort of like, you know, certainly you're respecting your flamingos.
Okay, with some data points. Will is absolutely right about flamingos. I was too dismissive of their abilities. Apparently, they can fly average speeds of 35 miles per hour, can reach over 40 miles per hour during long distance or migratory flights. They often travel hundreds of miles, and some species are known to fly over 300 to 600 miles in a single night. So absolutely, they can make it to this island, this paradise island in the Adriatic. I apologize to the flamingos out there. I had no idea about your skills. So is this thing on ice or no?
Not yet. Supposedly, I think the bulldozers have been pulled back from the site. Also, last week we found out that there's a corruption investigation. There's a lot of, Persian Gulf money involved here. That is, some of the accounts are being frozen by Albanian prosecutors. You know, it's a shame because Albanians, I believe, are traditionally very pro-American because of our involvement in the Kosovo War. They think America is cool, and I feel like we're kind of souring our relationship here.
Yeah, it just seems so unnecessary. Like, I know the shoe's like, oh, it's 1,400 hectares or whatever. Mm-hmm. still can't get over that. Just use some other, you know, measuring stick. Whatever. And we just don't need to do this. We don't need this. We don't need to start an international incident over some stupid resort on an island. And Jared's involvement is the craziest part. Like, Ivanka's going to do her thing. But Jared's like out there kind of like, our chief diplomat in the world, and he's creating a what's your word? You love that word, a diplomatic row. It's like, just why don't we just not do this? There's other things we can do with our time. We don't need to have. Aren't they supposed to be reconstructing Gaza into some sort of like, you know, paradise?
Yeah, it is kind of like they're gonna have their own like Club Med network or something, where it's like, well, first I summer at Flamingo Isle, and then I go down to, you know, Jared's slice of Gaza.
Yeah, the Gaza thing's not going well, by the way. There's no money in the Gaza board, and it doesn't seem like they've done anything, shockingly. Okay, I don't know if you have any last thoughts on Albania.
No, I don't. We'll keep monitoring it.
Do we have any readers in Albania? If you're a listener and you're watching and you're in Albania, hit us up. Like, I want to know what's going on down there. Like, drop us a line. We want some on the ground reporting in Albania, but we are not going to spend the money to send Will to Albania. So you want to go to Albania?
Yeah. Famously they beat up one of the guys who went to the site. So maybe I don't.
Actually, should we fundraise for you to send you to the island?
Say, you know what? Maybe we should.
Send Will to let's send Will to Ivanka's island where he can do some on the ground reporting and get some pictures with the flamingos. Will and the flamingos would be great. Someone make a little art of Will and flamingos, and we can just put it up when we get the show done. All right, let's move on. You said there's something happening with TPUSA. Again, yes. You're following this stuff. I have not followed this, so I'm literally hearing about this for the first time. I did no research on this. At least I did some research on the other things.
This is one of the annual TPUSA conferences, typically called the Young Women's Leadership Summit. They've rebranded as the Women's Leadership Summit. So this basically, you know, is prompting Candace, who obviously hates TPUSA, to say this. They had to say this because they lost all the young women. You know, maybe there's some truth to that. But basically, Erica Kirk gets up there and she gives a speech and she puts up a video that it's been a big deal. They claim that there was a video of Charlie Kirk anointing Erica as his successor. And this is where they unveil the video where he says, by the way, if anything ever happens to me, I want Erica to be my successor. So, you know, that was a big moment. Someone got up and called Erica a pedophile protector. Seemingly, it's not clear if that protester was a liberal or if they were kind of from the Candace wing. But basically, that person was dragged out. There was just a lot of drama.
Damn. Well, so is the video not legit? Like, I know you flagged it for us, but did he actually say this is my successor?
I think it's legit. It, you know, they played it in kind of a weird way. It was kind of like part of this montage, probably because they didn't want to be like, and here's the famous video. But, you know, it looked a little stilted to me, but I think it's legit. But a lot of the Candace types were saying, you know, this is AI, whatever. You know, it seemed pretty believable to me.
Is this Candace Owens tweet we have in the doc, is that related to this?
Yes. Can we throw that up?
Let's throw that up. Can you explain what's going on here?
So she says, notice it's no longer called the Young Women's Leadership Summit because they dropped the young because they've completely lost the youth since Charlie's passing. This is RNC Lite. It's now the Hags Nagging Summit with donors occupying speaking slots to lecture women about how it's biblical not to question anything. And so she says, you know, it's stale. And then Alex Clark, who is, if I don't know if we have the Alex Clark tweet. Yes. So Alex Clark, who's kind of like, along with Erica Kirk, kind of like the female face of TPUSA. She's like a MAHA influencer. She says, actually, it's because my podcast is bringing in massive numbers of young women and young moms for years. And so she says, Charlie wanted this. And then intriguingly, she says, by the way, how did Putin taste? Because Candace was just in Russia. She's implying that Candace blew Vladimir Putin. I know. And you know what, though? Alex Clark, kind of one of the saner voices on the right at the moment. Alex Clark also, to give you an idea of what happens at this thing, Alex Clark famously, this is crazy, has not been married. And as a trad influencer, people were like, why aren't you married? So she gave a speech. I don't think I'm unfair to say it was sort of about being an old maid. And then she then announces, and I'm engaged now. And then, of course, all the Candace wing starts saying her husband's, her fiance is gay. So, you know, this is there's kind of this trope that whenever one of these influencers gets married, like their fiance has kind of like a youth pastor, what we might call a soy face look. I wish the happy couple the best, but they're really going into this guy's background.
Is he gay?
No, I don't think so. I think he, you know, he looks like an upstanding, you know, straight young man. But he has that kind of youth pastor look to him. He's a little reedy. But, you know, I think, you know, going back to how big's the size of your engagement ring, all of these feuds in the past, you know, it often boils down to this.
Yeah. And then, well, that's made me think of James Fishback and his marriage and whether, you know, it's like, these marriages are not real. The Fishback one may not, although you saw the certificate. So it is real. It's just
real.
Like,
it's real. Yeah. You know, as much as these things can be.
Yeah. It's like legally real, but you know, how is the Fishback marriage going? Do we know?
You know, the
ex-girl, I feel like I can't go an episode without talking about that.
Well, the ex-girlfriend who promised to spill the beans, Frankie Rain, she said, I'm burying the hatchet with James. I'm getting too much attention. People like Will are DMing me for the tea. and instead, I'm going to launch.
Did she reference you?
Yeah, kind of obliquely. She didn't say my name, but she said, you know, people want the tea. And then she said,
Excuse me, Will, that is a little presumptuous of you to assume that she was referencing you.
You know,
she must have been talking about me.
Yeah, you know, that's true. That's true. This young girl pet, you know, I must have been on her mind. And then she said, and now I'm going to launch like kind of like a Groyper cooking show. And at that point I was like, click, you know, come on.
What do you think a Groyper cooking show is? I kind of want to watch it.
Well, she said she's going to have Chad Champion, the famous shirtless Groyper. She's going to have him on and teach him how to cook. So
didn't Chad Champion tweet at Tim Miller over the weekend?
Yeah, he tweeted, I love Tim Miller. So,
God, Tim, watch out. Not good. Some endorsements.
This is not the audience we're trying to attract.
Jeez, Tim's got to have to do something about that. What's the status of Erica Kirk? I saw a funny one where this obviously wasn't going to happen, but that she was going to be performing the national anthem at the Freedom 250. Did you see that?
No. I do think Erica Kirk, this was a more sedate presentation than we might be used to seeing. There were no pyrotechnics as far as I saw. This event sort of typically has kind of a, if folks know what the junior league is, like a little more kind of like a Southern, you know, having the ladies over for tea kind of presentation.
All right. There's one more video we're going to play of Dana Loesch, apparently.
Yes.
Okay. Let's
and
put
so,
it up.
So just to forget just set this, it up. Yeah. So she basically reads a lot of Bible quotes. This is aimed at Candace, but she reads a lot of Bible quotes about respecting widows and children whose fathers have died. So, you know, we know where this is going.
Okay, let's play the Loesch video.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That widows be included so they are not isolated. To protect widows. To care for widows. To not persecute a widow in the most ungodly of ways because you're jealous that you are not the one controlling an organization that widow's husband built.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you know, clearly aimed at Candace. I thought she was going to say, you're jealous that you didn't marry Charlie Kirk, which is obviously the big rap on Candace that people, that her detractors will say.
I want to step back for 1 second about TPUSA. Because obviously this is almost the same fault lines that we saw in the first conference after Kirk's assassination, right? It's like, who is the rightful heir to this organization? Are there people who are trying to rip it away from the people who are currently running it? Candace being just an absolutely divisive figure, the invitation of Tucker, so on and so forth. And look, this is not like an insignificant matter because arguably it was the most important outside group in the 2024 election. It did an incredible amount of messaging, voter registration, inroads on college campuses, things like that. And it seems to me that it's in just an utter state of disrepair. But they still put on these conferences. But when you put on these conferences and that's the main speech, that's not a good state.
No, it's not. And you know, you get sort of into these, you're focusing on these kind of internecine feuds rather than being like, and let's beat the Democrats in November.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll keep monitoring it, but this is a real story. Talking about these feuds within the ranks. So we've had, to recap, Kash Patel versus Judicial Watch, which is one feud. We've had, there have been, I will say, some conservatives who've gone against the conspiracists around Spencer Pratt, being like, this is kind of crazy. Joe Kernan and aside, but there have been some people who have been speaking up. So that's kind of a feud. We have Mike Lee, the Utah College Republicans, Jason Chaffetz feuding with Pete Hegseth over the lists of recognized Christian churches. So that's another feud. We have this TPUSA feud again, all around Candace and Erica Kirk. So that's another feud. And then we had this other feud, Lauren Boebert. Now the backstory here is prior to Tom Massey's election, or I should say his primary loss, rumor circulated online that he had been having an affair with Lauren Boebert, his colleague in the House. There's nothing to support it. But it is a rumor that was circulating briefly online. And then, of course, when he lost, people stopped talking about it. But not everybody, because Fox News decided that they wanted to ask Lauren Boebert about it outside of the Capitol building. And this ensued.
You, first of all, if you're going to bring me into this, like this sexist stuff is like out of control. So there's your clickbait that you were looking for.
And a lot of people.
I don't want to talk about anybody's exes and their crazy that they do.
You know, I think that clip actually didn't sync right because I think she said, fuck you, unless I missed it. But that was the first part that jumped out to me. She was just like, fuck you. What? why is this happening?
Yeah, so as you said, before Massey's election, he had this failed election campaign. He had this ex-girlfriend, Cynthia West, and we've written about her antics with meme stocks. But basically, she came out, and among her sexual allegations or disclosures was that she said Massey had slept with Lauren Boebert relatively soon after his wife died, like a few weeks. Now, I don't think she's necessarily lying. It's possible that he had claimed that, and maybe he was kind of tall talk. But essentially, that's the backstory there. It's very weird, though, as you said. I mean,
she's not married. Hold on, she's not married, right? She's divorced. He's widowed at the time. Consenting adults. I mean, like, who gives a shit?
Well, this is a bit odd, right? I mean, it is like almost a month later, and Fox News is like, "Hey, did you sleep with Thomas Massey?"
It's beyond odd. And she was righteously angry about it. She, you know, she's kind of occupying this weird place now where it's like Massey's going to be on the outs. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who we haven't talked about, is like, what country did she go to for medical treatment? Do we know? She left the country.
I think Costa Rica.
Yeah, she went to Costa Rica because she doesn't have health insurance. I don't think we have the tweet, but she's like, I'm going for, you know, healthcare reasons. I guess she wants to, I forget what it was, but she like wants to like rejuvenate. Or get like healthier. I don't know. She was very vague about it, but she's like, I don't have healthcare in America. And so I'm going to Costa Rica to pay for it. The whole thing's odd. Anyway, she's gone. She's literally out of the country. Massey's about to be out of Congress. Nancy Mace is like in fourth place in the South Carolina Republican primary poll for governor, which leaves Boebert as the one of the four who voted for the Epstein files disclosures as the lone person still in Congress, and Trump's been talking about primarying her. So she's in some weird ass position right now in the Republican Party. And I don't think it's coincidental that Fox News is asking her these questions when Trump's targeting her.
I agree. I mean, I think if this was about sort of a loyal Republican who was always, you know, supporting Trump, I don't think they'd be saying, hey, you sleeping with Thomas Massey? It's really weird. Fox News just doesn't normally act like that. So it's an odd one.
Okay, just to be clear, she went to Mexico. MTG went to Mexico for stem cell treatment. Let's put up the tweet. Always been proactive about my health by eating healthy, exercising, prioritizing sleep, not getting COVID vaccines, oh God, or flu vaccines and other traditional medicine recommendations. Folks, don't listen to MTG for health advice. Here's an easy internet search about some of the stem cell treatments that we had to go to Dream Body Clinic in Mexico to get because they're not available in the U.S. It's a shame that so many Americans have to travel abroad to get all types of medical treatments that they can't get in the United States because our FDA doesn't allow it. Medical tourism is a huge industry, and America should be ashamed of itself. So many Americans leave our country seeking all types of treatments, medications, and surgeries that cost them 40 to 80% less than it does in the U.S. Our health insurance is already absolutely ridiculously expensive, and healthcare costs way too high. She's right about healthcare costs being too high. She's not right about the COVID vaccine and the flu vaccine.
Reads kind of like sponsored content, doesn't it? Like she says the name of the clinic.
Oh, good point.
And it's very like talking pointy, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, medical tourism is a thing, folks. People go up to Canada all the time because it's cheaper. But that's not because, you know, we have COVID vaccines and flu vaccines. It's because our prescription drug prices are out of control. All right, well, we're almost at an hour, but I don't think we're going to quite make it. We have like 3 minutes left, unless you want to just filibuster.
You know, I think it's good to leave people wanting more, you know, and someday we'll hit that hour. But it was packed. It was a busy weekend. There was lots to discuss, stem cell treatments, Mormons, all kinds of stuff.
And we're going to part with something that I want people to just sort of envision as they think about whether to be a Bulwark subscriber. You know, when you're a Bulwark subscriber, you can subscribe on YouTube and you can subscribe on Substack. You not only get incredible analysis, reporting, insights, commentary from a host of experts, right? Like you have Jonathan Cohn, Lauren Egan, you got Adrian Carrasquillo, you got Catherine Rampell, you got Joe Pertico, you got Andrew Agri, you got all these people, you got JVL, Tim, Sarah. Like you get it all. But by subscribing, you support the mission. And the mission is important, which is great reporting, great commentary. We're not beholden to any interests. And by subscribing, you can help us travel to the most important stories out there, the most important stories that really matter. We can do on-the-ground reporting that other people cannot do. And so when you think about subscribing, I want you to have this vision in mind about the type of reporting that you can support, including sending Will to the island of Albania to report on flamingos. Let's put up that image, folks. Look at that. Beautiful. This could be your, this could be what your dollars go for.
I'm standing in front of the bulldozer in this picture. I'm like, don't leave my, leave my, my feathered
buddies. Leave the
alone.
Flamingos alone, Ivanka. Go find other hectares of land, Ivanka.
There's plenty of hectares elsewhere.
These flamingos, it's important for our EU membership that they just persist. All right. So folks, subscribe to The Bulwark where you get great content like this. We'll come to you next Monday for another edition of MAGA Mondays. Will, take care, buddy. Everyone else, thanks for the comments. Appreciate it. Love you guys. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.